and good evening. Let's pray one more time together. Lord, we're here for Your namesake, for Your glory. We're here, Lord, to draw near to You tonight. And Father, You said if we come near to You, that You will come near to us. So Lord, I pray that You meet each one of us in this building, Lord. You'll come near in some way, God. Maybe that's different for everybody, but Lord, that You would come near, that You would minister life and grace. And Lord, that You would just take my thoughts and my words and wing them, Lord, to many a heart, like the song says. Inspire us tonight, Lord. Prepare us, Father, for this weekend of seminar. Lay a foundation, Lord. Let me burn with Your passion, Lord, with Your heart, with Your burdens tonight. And let us all burn with that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see you all tonight. Thank you for coming. To the Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord seminar. This message tonight may be a little different than maybe you might say a normal message, if there is such a thing, in that, in a way, it's... they say when you read a book, it's always good to go to the table of contents and look it over before you start reading the book and to see what is the message of this book, so that when you start reading the parts, that it's going to make more sense to you, because you get the overall thrust of what the author is trying to say. And in a way, that's what I think tonight's going to be. I hope so, and I prayed so. We're going to take a look at the conference here and what we're going to be looking at tomorrow in the different sessions. And hopefully this is going to prepare us. Tomorrow should be a lot more practical, and tonight maybe more speaking to our hearts and what is needed there. Because we need both for this great task that God's given us. We need knowledge, we need to know how to do things. But we also need that heart, that without it, all the knowledge in the world doesn't avail. So, just like to share a little bit about my own testimony in the beginning here. About a month ago, I was ordained as an elder in the church here. And ever since then, I've had this increasing awareness that I have responsibility. Someday I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to have to give an account for all the souls that come here in this church. And that's a heavy thing. It's a heavy thought to think of. That when I stand before the Lord, I give account for the souls that He allowed to come into this church along with the other elders. And there's an element of fear there. But I trust it's not a bad fear. I believe it's the fear of God. And I don't want that to leave. In fact, I hope that it increases in my heart, that I take seriously what God's given me to do. And I know how easy it is to say something that turns somebody away, to be in the flesh sometime, or say something unwise, or do something hurtful. So I need God's grace and mercy, and you know, it's not all bad or fearful, or it's not all the accountability, but there's also the joy of it, that I get to do that. I get to minister for the Lord. There's a lot of joy in that, and maybe you're here tonight and you're Maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, you know, I'm glad I don't have that on me. But what I'd like to share with us all tonight is we all have that on us as parents. You are ministers. You are shepherds. When I first had my first child, that realization hit me. I saw myself as a minister at that time. I am a minister. I have a soul now, along with my wife, that's in my flock. I remember even writing newsletters through the years, you know, and talking about how my congregation was growing. And it was real to me. I'm a minister. And so tonight, I think we all need to face that as we begin here. If you are a mother or father here tonight, or if you're going to be one soon, you have a ministry. You are a shepherd. Shepherds. And the awesome responsibility of that, you shall give account to the Lord someday. Like the ministers in a church have to give account for the souls. All of us will give account before God. It says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may be that we may give account for the things that we did in our bodies. And surely that includes how we raised our children and what we did. So that's a heavy responsibility. And yet, you know, in my own heart, being a father and being a parent is I don't feel the heaviness of that responsibility so much as I feel the joy and excitement of I have an opportunity to serve God. I have an opportunity to take a soul that God has given me and to influence their life in such a way that they're going to love God someday. What an opportunity we have. Isn't that a thrill? There's been times when I didn't know that I would ever be ordained as a, quote, minister. But, you know, when I considered Jesus' ministry, He had 12 men that He poured His life into, who changed the world. And I thought often, you know, if my ministry is just my 10 children and my wife, and if I am faithful and God uses that, that can change the world. 10 souls that are on fire for God. 10 souls that love Him. And so I want to encourage us all in that tonight. And another thing is that they're not your children, they're God's. He just gave them to you to take care of. That's important to remember. And someday we'll give them back to Him. Well, this, like I said, first gripped me 18 years ago when I found out, and Laura and I found out that we were going to have our first child. And I felt so unprepared and needy. Like, I don't know how to do this. I was not raised in a Christian home. My wife was, but I wasn't. And I just had no clue. And I knew it, and I'm glad I felt needy because I was. I really was needy. And Laura and I just would often cry out to God and say, Lord, we don't know how to be parents, prepare us. And I remember praying a prayer that was, it was a faith-filled prayer that we prayed together in our living room, and we said, Lord, we need help. We ask You right now, Lord, to send us books and people and tapes and scripture verses and anything else that You think we need. We're asking You, God, to send it to us. And there was such a faith that rose up in my heart in that prayer that I just believed that God would do that for me. Because I knew it was His will. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And so I prayed that prayer, and we prayed that prayer in faith. And you know, it was amazing to see how some of these things would come to us in the strangest of ways. We lived in Colorado at the time, and one of the most amazing things was the Godly Home tapes somehow found their way to our house. Somebody had put them in a public library. I still don't know exactly who it was. It was Ken Lowry, or I'm not sure. But and our pastor's wife from this charismatic church we were going to got that, and she played one of them for the ladies on the rod of correction, because there was a real need for that in our congregation. And Laura brought it home, and I listened to it, and I just was blown away. And I said, wow, that is different. I haven't heard anything like that. And I saw that it was from Paradise, Pennsylvania. And I said, well, I know where that is. I grew up in Philadelphia. I said, we need to just check that church out when we're back visiting my parents. So, anyway, to make a long story short, that's kind of how we ended up here eventually. But God answered our prayer. You know, and God loves to answer prayers like that of people who feel needy and people who don't know how to do it, but just cry out to God and just say, Lord, send me what I need. And I think He smiles in heaven when He hears that prayer come up, because He just, you know, okay, we're going to release these angels and this thing. And He just is excited to see how that's all going to work out. So I encourage us all in that. If you feel needy, praise God for that. And pray that kind of prayer. And so we began to get other materials as well. It wasn't just from here, but many inputs. I was hungry. I wanted to learn. I felt like I didn't know a thing about being a father. My home was just your standard, I would say, American home, if I could say it that way, full of sports, full of dead religion and strife and a lot of bad things. And for me to be a father, how do I be a godly father? And in a way, I think that was good for me, because it made me sort of throw up everything in the air and say, God, You just show me where all these pieces need to fit together. Because I don't have a pattern to go by. And I need You to do that. And so Laura and I, we just began dreaming. It was a glorious time. I think of many times we would take drives in our little Subaru wagon. And one time we went camping. And we had tapes with us, and we'd pop one in, and we'd just be driving down the road. And something, they'd say something about being a godly father, and it would just blow our minds, and we'd stop the tape and we'd talk about it, dream about it. Wow, you mean we could really do that? Yeah, that's what I want. That's the kind of home I want. And we just spent these hours dreaming together, and they seemed like minutes. We'd get to where we were going and be like, wow, let's go somewhere else, you know, let's put another tape in. Because it was so enjoyable and it was thrilling. And in my heart, you know, when I had a burden for this type of seminar or conference, that's what I was feeling. Like, I would like everybody to have that experience. If you've never had that, that every single person could have that thrill of discovery and that thrill of learning God's ways and God's ways for the family, that just makes your soul leap and put something in you that is going to last and carry you through the hard and the grind of life. So that's been my prayer, that somehow this conference could be like that in each of our lives. And if you've never had a time like that, this could be a time like that for you. Well, something happened back then 18 years ago that never left us. We got a vision. We said, we want to have a godly home, whatever that is. That's what we want with all our heart. And I can say, you know, over these years, that revelation and that thing that God did in our hearts has never left us. It's affected where I went to work. It's affected what I did with my time, or what hobbies I didn't pursue, or what, you know, where I went to church. Everything came through that grid. God, I want to be a man of God. And I want to have a family that's a godly home for Your sake, for Your glory. You know, I had a burden for my children. I grew up and I did not have a clue why I did what I did. I was just a slave to my flesh. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was happening. Clueless. And I felt, when I saw that little baby that God had given me, you know, just to think, I do not want them to have to grow up as a youth and have no understanding how they work, why they're sad, or why they're happy, or what makes them tick. And so that vision was part of this. A sense of, I want to give them something better. Doesn't every parent have that? I mean, even the most worldly of parents, they do want something better for their children, don't they? I think so. Unless they're really depraved. But just about every parent wants something better for them. And God put that in our hearts as parents. So I believe you're here tonight because you have that type of desire. You want something better. And maybe you had something good to start with. But you know there's always something better, right? With God's grace. So thank you for coming here, and thank you for having a desire to be all you can be for God and to raise children who love Him. Well, I've shown you that you're all in the ministry, right? You have a ministry. You have a flock if you have children. I want to talk tonight about what is that ministry. And so I want to talk about this title, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord. I had this burden for this seminar, and I talked to the brothers about it, Brother Aaron and Emmanuel and Mel, and they said, yeah, you know, go for it. We believe the Lord will bless that. And about a month and a half ago, I started realizing, you know what, I need to get ready for this thing. And, Lord, what are we going to do? It was a great idea, but... And one night I woke up around 2 in the morning, and I just was thinking about it. I said, Lord, what is it? Give me a title. Give me somewhere to go with this thing. Right then, that moment, the words came to me, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I love when that happens. You know what I mean? Because you know it's God. That's the exciting part of being a Christian, you know, when God is answering prayer. I'd never thought about prepare ye the way. In fact, I even had to sort of like, say it in my mind a couple of times. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, how's this going to fit together? I never thought about that. I don't know that I've ever heard that applied to it, something like this. Maybe I have. But as the more I've meditated on it, I thought, well, yeah, I know where that is. That's Isaiah speaking about John the Baptist, his coming. And so I looked up those verses, and maybe we'll turn there right now. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God used that picture that they understood back then. Of, in those days, if a king wanted to go somewhere, he would send like the Army Corps of Engineers ahead to straighten the way out. Give him a path. He didn't want to have to be climbing over rocks and through valleys and things like that. So he would send the Army Corps of Engineers, like is what we call it in the U.S., this group of road builders and people like that, engineers, and they would go before and they'd make the way straight so that the king could come unhindered. And so he was saying that's what John the Baptist is going to do. He is going to bring up the valleys. Bring up the low places. And you know, when I think about my children, some of my children are like that. They're kind of like a valley. They need to be built up. They need to be their low place. And for the Lord to be able to receive the Lord, the comfort of the Lord, they need to be built up. They need to be encouraged. And that's what I see there. And every hill shall be made low. Some others may be of more tend to pride. And they need to be brought down. They need to be shown what's inside of them and what they're made of. And given the Word of God in such a way that they realize their need for God. That's preparing the way of the Lord. Knowing what our children need, each one. And then the crooked shall be made straight. There's some who maybe have more of a crooked bent. Some of my children are more prone to maybe tell a lie or steal something. Maybe your children are all better than that, but mine are, some of them have a tendency towards crookedness. And so there's that, no, I've got to prepare the way of the Lord. I've got to show them. We've got to straighten that out. We've got to show them where they're at and what God has to say about it. And then the rough places, they all have rough places, don't they? That need to be made plain, need to be smooth, need to be worked on. And so, you know, when God had such an important task that He was sending His Son into the world for salvation, He sent somebody ahead. He sent a man ahead, John the Baptist, and He said, I want you to prepare the way. I want you to get in that wilderness and preach and talk about sin and turn the people from their religion. Call sin, sin. Tell them where it's really at. Tell them what God thinks about it. He didn't just send His Son there to do that in cold. He sent a man ahead. And John the Baptist did that. And he did it well. He prepared the hearts of the people. And then he told them, Jesus is coming. This is the one who I've been telling you about. And so, in a real way, that's what we are called to do as parents. God has an important task. Someday He's going to come knocking on the door to your child's heart. And He's going to say, I want to come in. And He says, you need to go. I'm sending you before. Because you need to get them ready. So when I knock, they're going to hear. They're not going to be too busy or distracted or dull that they don't hear my voice. So this idea of prepare ye the way of the Lord, that's the vision that God put in my heart for this weekend. And I believe the sessions that we're going to be having tomorrow, they all flow in with that. That's our job. That's the great job that God has given us to do. Do we have promises from God that we can have a godly seed? Can anybody think of one? Anybody? Getting a little bit cold here, but I thought of a couple. You know, in Acts, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he talked about how the Spirit would be poured out on your sons and your daughters. And then he said, and the promise is to you and your children and to as many as the Lord should call from afar off. We're a little bit far off, but the Lord's called. And it says there in Acts 2:39, if you want to write it down, it says the promise is to you and your children. It says in Psalms 103, and 17, it says, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. That's a promise to me. That talks about God's faithfulness, not how good I am and not how good I do it all, but His faithfulness when I fear Him. That's Psalm 103 and 17. So, just wanted to mention a couple promises. There's many in the Bible. And I think it's important that we have them in our hearts, that we're standing on something. I'm not just wanting to have a godly home because it's my idea and I got to hope that somehow maybe I'll be good enough to do it or maybe it'll work out. But no, God has promised in His Word. And these promises, they're not promises that don't have responsibility on our part, because there is responsibility. That's what this conference is about. You know, I had a friend in Colorado, a dear friend, that we both started our families pretty close together, and actually he started a little bit before me, and we really had the same heart. We wanted to raise these children for God, and but over the years, you know, he observed different people and families And he observed that he just couldn't seem to find a rhyme or reason. It seemed like maybe somebody from the same home, this one loved God with all their heart, and this one didn't. Maybe they were really way, way out there. And I remember him sharing with me one time, he was kind of, I don't think he thought it was discouragement, but me hearing it, I was thinking, brother. He was sort of saying, you know what? It's sort of like all up to them. It's their decision. It's their, it comes down to their heart. And it does. We know that. That each child, they have a will. They have a choice. And yet, is it all up to that? I don't believe it is. If it was, why would God tell us all these things? Why would He take an Abraham in Genesis 18 and say, I've chosen him because I know him, that he will command his children after him to keep my commandments and to follow me. Genesis 18. So, it's not going to do us good to get discouraged and just to think, well, it really doesn't matter what we do. You know, after all, it's their choice anyway. And those type of things. And I've observed my friend's life, you know, and it didn't come out very good. It's sad. I believe we need to have faith that by the grace of God, I can have this with His help. If it depends on me, that's not very hopeful because I know how bad I mess up. But one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight and mention was we don't have to be perfect to have children who love God. If we did, forget it. How many of you would have to just walk out tonight and say, well, it's too bad I didn't make it. I make a lot of mistakes. It seems like I'm always saying I'm sorry. And I shouldn't have said that. Would you please forgive me? And those kind of things, you know, that's not a hindrance. That's just being real. And if you make your children, if you try to project to your children that you got it all together and you know they need to be like you who has it all together, that's not a true picture. No, they need to see that, yeah, we, mom and dad are made of the same thing I'm made of. But they have a walk with God. They have a blood of Jesus to cleanse them. They know how to start over when they make a mistake. And they know how to say they're sorry when they did wrong. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the message today. This whole thing of being real. We're going to see something amazing in the New Testament about a man who was real. And this man prepared the way of the Lord like nobody else, I think, in the whole New Testament. And so we're going to look at that at the end. But you don't have to have it all together. You just need to be altogether real and honest. Because one thing that children see is hypocrisy. Are we going to fool them? Are they fooled by our stuff? No. They're smart. They see right through it. So let's prepare the way of the Lord for these hungry ones who are wanting, who are looking to us, you know, feed us, show us. Let's prepare the way of the Lord by showing them how to get real. How to say I'm sorry. They're people. And if we hurt them because of our sin, we need to let them know that we fail. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. That's preparing the way of the Lord. That's what they need to do someday, isn't it? When the Lord comes knocking at their door. All right. You know, a lot of people make a mistake. They think, when my children get to be youth, that's when I'm really going to pour myself in there and get serious about things and relating to them. That's the worst mistake that can be made. The time to prepare the way of the Lord is when they're 2 years old and three and four. I found in my home from 2 to 8, that's when I get the heart of my child in between to where their heart is mine. They gave it to me. Not when they're 15. You know, if we wait till they're 15, it's a lot harder. it's a lot harder. You know that saying, it says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? I mean, it's really true. That time that you spend with your little ones, reading them the story, talking, sharing your heart, loving them, seeing what they're interested in, that's not wasted time. No, you're building something. You're getting that heart. Then they'll give it to you to just steer me, guide me. And that's what we found over the years. So, many people make that mistake and they all of a sudden wake up and they realize, whoa, I have a child whose heart has never been given to me. And now it's out here, it's out there. That's the burden for this seminar. The young ones. This is, I believe, such a key time. Picking up the pieces of youth that are struggling and failing is not easy, is not fun. It's much better to come at it now when they're young. Say, I'm going to get this heart, I'm going to love this soul, and they're going to give their heart to me, and then I'm going to steer it with God's help into the things of God. So let's not make that mistake. Let's prepare the way now. All right, well, tomorrow our first session is going to be on the subject. Right now we're going to kind of go through a series of, like the table of contents I was telling you about. This is what we're looking at tomorrow. Just want to do a quick overview and see how this all ties together in this idea of prepare the way of the Lord. And then when we read the book tomorrow, we'll be able to take it all in and put the pieces together better, hopefully. Okay, the first session tomorrow is on obedience. The importance of obedience. When we train our children to obey, we are preparing the way for the Lord. In a more powerful way than just about anything else we can do. The gospel call is a call to what? Obedience. Acts 5:32. I believe it was Peter. He said, the Holy Spirit is given to all them that obey Him. Isn't that an amazing statement? The Holy Spirit is given to all them that obey. Acts 5:32. 2 Thessalonians, it says that verse where it talks about that in flaming fire taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. God doesn't speak in terms of these people believe the gospel. I mean, he does speak in that term. And these people don't believe. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like for me, when I first came to the Lord, I had to wrestle through that. Okay, believe. I believe in Jesus. In my mind, I believe he died on the cross. I accept that. But is that it? Is that all there is? No. It's a call to obey the gospel. It's a call to do something. To repent of our sin. To receive Jesus as our Lord. To turn from going our own way. The gospel call is a call to obedience. And so, when children grow up in a home where they are taught from an early age to obey, that is a wonderful preparing the way of the Lord. Because when God knocks on the door, they've learned to give that heart of obedience already. And so now it's just another step to give it to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. There's a reason why God made this the one commandment for children. Right? He didn't give them 2 and 4 and 5. He gave them one commandment. And He said, this is what I want you to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I mean, it's real simple. It's real simple. I'd like to tell my children that. It's real easy. You got it so easy. You just have one thing you have to do. I mean, I got a lot of things I got to think about. But God made it really easy for you. He just said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. And I'm going to bless you if you do that. And tomorrow, my children have a special class for the children on that subject. that for the ages, what, 4 to 10 or so, that'll kind of reinforce, I believe, what Brother Rick's going to teach and what I'm sharing here. So I think that's going to be a real blessing. He gave them one commandment. You know, and let's remember, there's a temptation to think we're teaching obedience because it's going to make my life easier. Right? Does it make our life easier? It really does. I mean, I feel so sorry for these parents that their children are lying on the store floor, kicking their feet and screaming and having a fit. I feel sorry for them because that's a hard life. That's sad. You know, but yet, and God tells us to have obedience for our benefit. He doesn't want our home to be a crazy place where it's chaos and confusion and all that. But it's not so much that we're doing it for our own benefit and our own home's peace, but we're doing it for His sake. We're preparing the way of the Lord. We need to remember that. I tell my children that sometimes. You know, I'm training you in obedience for God's sake. He told me. He told me to do this. I'll even ask, do you want me to obey the Lord and give you a spanking? Or do you want me to disobey the Lord and not? I've never had anybody to say they wanted me to disobey the Lord. Never. They all said, no, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Praise God. There's a difference when it's not me. It's not about me being the big shot or the one that they need to obey. It's no, this is about God. This is a God thing. So we are preparing the way of the Lord as we teach them that and as we show them obedience. And I believe that it's possible to achieve that for all of our children. That will that's yielded. Sometimes in our home it's been a warfare, like World War III. Other times it hasn't been that way. It depends on the child, their will, their makeup. But with God's grace, and sometimes many loud cryings and coming to the end of myself, prayers, God gives grace for that. And you find a child that's yielded and at rest and is now obedient. All right, the second thing tomorrow. The second session is on training our children to respect and honor others. Well, how does that prepare the way of the Lord? Teaching them to respect and honor others is teaching humility and love. Love in action. You think about that. Aren't children some of the rudest people on the earth? I mean, we just had a new one here, Jonathan. He is so rude. We could be having a most wonderful discussion and he will just throw a fit right in the middle of it. Never says, excuse me. Never raises his hand. He just, help me! Do something! I'm needy! Children are born that way, right? They think they're the center of the universe. They think everything in the world is existing to meet every need that they have. You know, there's some people that are old that think that way too, aren't there? I used to be that way. We think that everything's for us. So, teaching our children to honor and to respect other people, that's bringing them down to the reality. Hey, you are just a little tiny speck in God's universe. You are no more important than anybody else. And there's people who you need to honor because they're actually your elders and your superiors. We could say it that way. Today we don't talk like that too much in our society, do we? Superiors. That was pretty common not too long ago. We are preparing the way of the Lord by giving them that blessing of honoring others, being respectful. And we're going to have a whole session on that. I just wanted to say something here. I've noticed over the years as I've been a parent and been walking this thing out. I've been a student to just look constantly what works, what doesn't work, what brings failures, what brings successes. And one of the things I've seen, I don't know if it's number one or whatever, but it's one of the top reasons I've seen for children to turn away from God is children who had parents who dishonored the authorities in their life. Haven't you seen that? Parents who are critical of or distant from the church or from the ministers. I'm telling you, that thing right there is a setup for your child to reject their ministry and what God would do through them. That's something I've noticed over the years. I've seen it, you know, where I've observed that sort of speech from a father or a mother. I've seen people turn away, youth, more than once. And so that's just a sober warning to us. I've purposed in my heart that I never want my children to hear anything like that. Me speaking about an authority in my life. Never. Does that mean my authorities are perfect? No. But if I'm where God, if I believe I'm where God put me, then there's a right respect and an honor. And I believe that as I give that honor, that God is going to honor me also in my home. That's another point. You know what? When you dishonor others, you just undermine your own authority in the home. Because you're their authority. So that's a sober warning there about this matter of honoring. I had in mind to speak about a few of these pitfalls tonight, things that I've seen in my life that really are biggies that we need to think about and guard our tongues and our lives from. Because you can come, you know, and get all the knowledge in the world and be inspired and everything else, but if you're going to have a loose tongue and you're going to speak disrespectfully, you may undermine every plan and dream and goal that you have. Well, someday they're going to be prepared to honor the King of Kings. They've learned to give honor where honor is due. I honor my father and mother. I honor my minister. I honor the king or the government. And now I honor God. I give Him the honor. All right. The third session tomorrow is on the subject of relationships. Christianity is all about relationships, isn't it? What are the two great commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a relationship, right? This is eternal life, that they may know the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's eternal life is a relationship, knowing the Father and the Son. The second great commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's a whole lot of relationships there. And so to prepare the way of the Lord, they need to know how to relate. How many adults are crippled? Absolutely crippled because they don't know how to relate to other people. They don't know how to relate when they're hurt. They don't know how to relate when somebody wounds them. Somebody offends them. And so they're crippled. And then they hurt somebody. And they say something they shouldn't say. And they get into that. But you know, God has such a higher way for us. And that's something I've striven to, and we've striven to teach our children, is how to deal with those issues that come up in a home. Somebody has a toy and the other person wants it. There's different ways you can deal with that. One way, the way I've used a lot, maybe probably you have too, it's not the best way, is to say, who had it first? Right? Johnny had it first? All right, give it back to Johnny. Is that training them for God? Is that preparing the way for the Lord? Or is that preparing them to be the fastest one on the draw? I got to get it first, because if I get it first, it's mine. That's where it comes in that we're gonna teach them to relate. Now wait a minute here. We have two sinners here, right? Two people who want the same thing, and they think they deserve it better than the other person. So then that's a chance to walk it out, to relate it, to deal with it, to face what's going on in your heart right now. What are you feeling towards your brother right now? Are you loving your brother? Or are you feeling angry? I wish someone taught me that when I was a boy. Because I was just living out my flesh and didn't even know why. Everything went wrong. So relationship, we're going to have a whole time on relationships there, Brother Jeff. But here's a question for us. How is your relationship with your children? Christianity, like I said, is a relationship. If you have a bad relationship to your children, do you think they're going to want to follow your God? That's a sober thought. I think there's many in our country who feel their duty is to bring their children to church on Sunday. You know, I brought them up in the Lord. I brought them to church with me every Sunday. Oh, it's so much more than that. Most people who get saved because of a relationship. Isn't that right? Some people get saved by just reading a tract somewhere. But I know even a lot of those, someone's already been talking with them and relating, somebody they knew. How many of you were saved because of a relationship you had with somebody who told you about Jesus? Raise your hand. How many in this room? Okay? Most of us. Most of us were saved that way. Because we saw something there. And they related to us. And we said, I want what they have. At least that's the way it was in my life. My cousin, I saw he had something and I wanted it. And I had people, you know, on the streets. I remember going to Philadelphia. And there would be street preachers and tract hand-outers. And that spoke to me. It turned my mind towards the things of the Lord, you know, to have to deal with it. But I was kind of afraid of, who are these people, you know? Are these guys weirdos or what? But my cousin, well, he's my cousin, you know. He's safe. And God used that to give me an openness to hear Him. And He was a life that I knew and I could see. So, and I don't mean to speak against street preaching either. You know, I think it's needful. But relationship is so important. Question here. How is your marriage relationship? You know, we're not doing a marriage seminar this weekend. But I think one of the, right up there with the other thing I told you about the pitfall, over the years I've noticed, if there's a bad marriage relationship, I've seen many children turn away from homes that otherwise I would have said, you know, these are people who love God, who are serving God. If you have marital problems, you know, you need to go to that marriage seminar or do whatever it takes. Go to the cross. Because that will undo every other thing, all these nice things you're going to learn here this weekend and all these inspiring things. And it's a relationship. That's what turned me away from Catholicism, the way I was raised. I did not want what my parents had. And I actually thought that through in my mind. I said, I observed what they had, their religion, and the way that they related to each other. They didn't have a good relationship. And I said, I don't want what they have. There must be something better than that. And so I just wanted to put that in here this weekend, because I think it needs to be mentioned. Children don't walk away from homes that are places of love, places of joy, places of sweetness, places where mom and papa love each other, places where there's relationships that are like that. Children don't walk away. Youth don't walk away from that kind of a home. It's usually a home where there's bankruptcy. It was emptiness. And they want something better. So this thing of relationships is so important. Are you best friends with your children? Do you want to be their best friend? In the right way. I know we're not just to be their buddies, but do you share your heart with them? Do you know how to draw them out? The Bible says there that counsel in a man's heart is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. He's learned how to get in there. So many youth are crippled because they don't know how to share what's going on inside of them. They don't know how to communicate. And then someone like that grows up and gets married, and their spouse is looking at them like, "What is the matter with you?" And like my wife probably did a few times. You know, in my growing up, my dad didn't know how to do that. And when things didn't go well, his method of dealing with it was go sit in a corner somewhere and clam up and maybe have a beer. And just, if my mother talked to him, he'd just silent. Not going to talk. Mm-mm. Guess what I was like? I thank God for my wife, who's been very good to teach me how to draw those waters out. "What are you thinking, dear? What are you thinking?" "Oh, come on, I want to know." Thank God for wives. Praise God. She taught me how to draw it out of me. And we need to teach our children that. Teach them what they're thinking. The processes of What's happening inside you right now? Okay, you just hit your brother. What were you thinking when you hit him? Did you think that was going to make it better? Did it seem to make it better? They don't really know why they do the things they do, but if we draw it out, we can help them to realize why they do it. So it takes being a student. It takes effort. All right. Church life is how much percentage of relationships? I was with a brother and he said he thought it was like 90% relationship. Do the church a favor. Prepare the way of the Lord. Teach them how to relate to those around them. And do the church a favor. And aren't there so many problems? People just don't know how to relate. You know, and so we've got to work through it. And they didn't have what we want to give our children. So it's a lot of work for ministers and for everybody. All right, fourth session tomorrow is on working the character quality of diligence into our children. If you study the lives of the people in the Bible that God used, the men, they were people who got with it when God told them to do something. Remember it says Abraham, he got up early, took Isaac to the mountain. You know, Moses, he got up early and went and did what the Lord said. Over and over it says that. And so, it's a handicap if our children don't know how to work and don't have order. It's preparing the way of the Lord when there is an ordered home life. Think about it. Is not God a God of incredible order? I mean, everything is ordered. There's 7 days in every week, 24 hours in a day. It's perfectly ordered. It's always the same. And man didn't invent that. It's there. He just discovered it and said, "Whoa, this is the way things are." The earth goes around the sun once every year. It's always done that. The stars do what they do in their seasons and in their order. And I don't know much about astronomy, but it's amazing to me how they can predict these eclipses and all these type of things. Well, they can do that because God is a God of order. And a home that's disorderly. People get up when they feel like it. And somebody eats breakfast now, another one eats it later. And especially with homeschooling, it can be a real danger because we don't have that thing pushing us. But There's a security that comes when everything is ordered. Just like the sun comes up every morning. Yep, it's a new day and we're going to get up on time. We're going to have breakfast at our time. That brings security. That prepare. I believe that prepares the way of the Lord. And then also just learning how to work. And Brother Emmanuel is going to share on that subject tomorrow. Training our children to work hard without complaining. Sometimes that takes work, doesn't it? I've noticed. It goes a lot better if we have a little meeting. We talk about it. We say, all right, look, we're going to go out and shovel snow. Okay, and this looks like it's going to be really fun. It's beautiful out there. It's all white. We get to go out and enjoy it, and it's going to seem really fun for about 5 minutes. Okay? But after about 5 minutes, your arms are going to start to hurt, and you're going to feel sweaty, and it's not going to be fun anymore. But we're going to have a whole lot more driveway that we got to do. So let's get ready for that, right? We're expecting it, right? And so there's that aspect of teaching them what to expect, and that when it hits them, that pain and that discomfort, they say, oh yeah, I knew about that. Mom and Dad told me about it, and we're just going to go right on through, you know, and it'll work out. We'll get this thing shoveled. So I believe that's preparing the way for God in its own way. All right, then the final session tomorrow is going to be on training our children in the Word of God. And again, that's such an important thing, isn't it? It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just the church's job. Well, I bring my children to church. I did my job. No, it's all of our job. The preacher is only reinforcing what you are giving every day. They're hungry every day. Right? We feed them their food. How often? A few times a day, right? Because they're hungry. Their souls are hungry too. And God said they're not supposed to just live by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, so I'm going to have that session tomorrow there. Training them in the Word. Exposing them, I say exposing them often and early to what God says in His Word. And we've done that over the years. We've had them listen to Bible tapes at night when they go to bed. They lay down and we put this tape in there and they listen to Romans or Matthew. That's how they go to bed. For the most part. That's building something in there. That's building a foundation. That's preparing the way of the Lord. Maybe they're even sleeping. I believe that word's going in their ears. I don't understand how that all works. But there is something to that. Even scientists will have said that and studied that. So how can I expose them to God's Word? What can I do? What can I give them? Someday, the words, all those words that we pour into them in family devotions, in just times of sharing the Word with them, someday that incorruptible seed is going to be what makes them become born again. It's God's Word that does that. Is the Bible the authority in your home? Do your children know that it's the Bible that is the authority in the home? Our home is based upon this book. We do what we do because the Bible says so. We don't do what we don't do because the Bible says so. Is that foundation there? And I would like to just say at this time, is our home free from other words? You know, there's a lot of children's books out there that are bad. And they actually give a worldview, a way of looking at life that is totally against Scripture. My one friend that I had out in Colorado, he was older than me, about 13 years, and he had three or four children. And he had these books called the Berenstain Bears. You ever hear of them? They're terrible books. The dad is this bum who can't do anything right. You know, and disrespected by his children. And that's okay because he's such a jerk. And I remember reading that and just thinking, I wonder why, you know, this, he's not really building something for himself here. I don't want my children hearing about that kind of stuff for their dad. It's a false view of life. It's actually, you know, from the devil. So we have to watch that. Look through your books and see. What is the message this book is giving? You know, I thought about it. We have a book I really like. It's called Busy Day, Busy People. I don't know if any of you have read that one. It's a children's book. But I got to thinking about it today. You know, that book doesn't have God in it. It's a really nice children's book. It talks about how people go to work and people go to the store and then they come home and so forth. And I really like it. But I got to thinking, maybe we need to put a couple more pages in there. Because it doesn't have God in it. What is the message that's giving? Oh yeah, busy day, busy people. They go to work, they build things, they go to the store. They never talk to God though. So let's cleanse our homes if need be. The world view is what I'm thinking about. How do my children look at the world? What kind of glasses do they have on? When they view the world, when they walk out there and they're looking at the world, what kind of glasses do they have? Are they Bible glasses? They're looking at it through the Bible? Oh yes. God is the Creator. He's made all things. I am one of His servants. I'm called to give my life to Him. Or is it, you know, something else? So to me, that's the Word of God is building that, those glasses into their minds and hearts so that when they see all of life, they're seeing it the way God wants them to see it. We're going to talk about family worship tomorrow. And I read a book once from 100 years ago or so, and this man shared. He said, your children, there should be almost a shudder of them. In their hearts, if they go to someone's house and they don't have family worship, there should be almost a shudder there that they are among heathen. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow, about the need of family worship. It was said of Timothy that from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. And Timothy was not raised by a man of God. It was his mother and his grandmother who poured into him the Holy Scriptures. And look what he became. With a heathen father, a Greek father. As far as we know, he was not a Christian. All right. Well, I'm sure there's many other topics that we could talk about of preparing the way of the Lord. But I told you in the beginning that I wanted to share with you about a man in the New Testament who this just really blew me away when I read this. I've read it before, but I had never read it in this light of thinking about preparing the way of the Lord. And that man, his name is Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, if you want to turn there. And the reason I especially want to share this story to end with here tonight is that tomorrow we're going to get a lot of practical stuff, a lot of hands-on how-to. I'm sure there'll be some of the other two, but it's going to be a lot of how do you do this? And in a way, I think this is a unique seminar that we've had here. I don't remember anything quite like it in 15 years of so much practical. And I think that's a blessing. But for tonight, I felt like, you know, we need to look at the spiritual also, because that is the key. It's not just learning how to do the right things, learning how to have family devotions, or learning how to train our children to obey. But there's something, the factor that must be there is this is what Cornelius had. This is an amazing man. Let's look at it in Acts chapter 10, starting in the first verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Okay, he was a soldier. You know, does that rattle your theology a little bit? This guy was a soldier. He was a centurion. He was some sort of commander. It says here in verse 2, he was a devout man. And one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And what struck me about this man here is, okay, here's a heathen man. He's actually the first Gentile saved, I believe. The first time. God had to actually give Peter a vision so he would even go. Peter said when he came into the house, I'm not even supposed to come into your house, but God showed me that I should. So this is the first man, the first Gentile saved. And his testimony about his life is so powerful. He was devoted. He was a devout man. What came to me was this guy was for real. There was something about this man that made everybody in his house want to fear God too. It says he feared God with all his house. He wasn't just fearing God on his own. And his children were out doing their thing and his wife had her whatever that she was into. No, it says that he feared God with all his house. There is something about this man that people wanted to follow him. People wanted to be like him. All his house feared God too. And then it says that he gave much alms to the people. You know your religion is real when it reaches your wallet. Right? I went to a homeschool conference in Harrisburg one time with Larry Burkett was there a few years back before he died. He made an amazing statement. He said, when I'm interviewing people who have money problems, I ask them about their giving. If they tell me that they don't give, he says, I write down unbeliever. My little thing that I use for my own reference of who is this person. He said, I write down unbeliever. Because their religion didn't make it to their wallet yet. So this man Cornelius, he was for real. His faith in God caused him to reach into his wallet and give alms to these people that weren't even of his nation. He was for real. And then it says, he prayed to God always. I wish that the Lord could say that about me someday, that I prayed to God always. This heathen man, God said that about him. He prayed to God always. What did he pray? I think we have a clue by what God did. What did God do for him? Verse 24, for the sake of time, we'll just skip through here, but it says, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Here it is again. This guy was so for real that when he called his friends and his relatives, come on, there's going to be somebody tell us about God, they believed him. And they came. Do you think he told them he had a vision? I think he did. Wouldn't you? I had a vision the other day. And they told me that God told me to send for this guy Peter. And he's going to come and tell us what we need to do. I would tell everybody that. Come on. Come over to my house. He's going to be here tomorrow. People believed him. You know he's real when people believe you, right? They believed what he said. He wasn't just some weirdo that had a vision, you know, and now he wants me to come over to his house. I don't think I need to do that today, you know. I got more important things. No, people, his friends and relatives, they all came. Because they knew his life. This guy prays always. He's devout. And he gives. And he fears God. Well, they all came. Now, what was he praying for? It seems obvious that he was praying that God would show him how to come to God. Because that is what God sent Peter to do. And the amazing thing is, it says in verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. All of them. everybody in his house. Talk about household salvation. God spoke to me, you know, as I saw that in a new way. The importance of being real with God. We can know, we can have all the, be in the right church and have all the right seminars we went to. But if we're not real, if we don't fear God, and if we don't, if our religion never hit our wallet yet, and if we're not devoted, and if we don't pray, I don't think we should expect from God. I don't think we can expect from God. And so that's just an encouragement, I hope, tonight. Let's be real. And being real can mean, Lord, I don't know how to pray always, but I want to learn. Teach me. That's being real. If you don't measure up, don't despair. It's one thought I wanted to say about this weekend. You know, probably all of us are going to hear some things that we do not measure up to. I'm sure I will hear some things like that. Do we get overwhelmed and discouraged and walk away defeated? That's not God's will. Or do you get something that God is speaking to you and you say, you know what, I maybe have these areas in my life that are not what they should be. But by the grace of God, we're going to go after some of this. If it's only one thing, if it's only one thing. Maybe it's just obedience. Maybe you haven't had obedience in your home. If you just get that one thing, what a blessing it would be worth to have been here. Or if you just get learn this matter of relationships or family devotions, whatever it may be, let's not be discouraged. That's not the will of God. I hope I haven't shared anything that discourages anybody tonight. Because you all are here, I believe, because you want to learn. I want to learn. I don't know how to do it all. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to learning some things and growing. I mean, we had it just in our... we went on a trip to Colorado a couple weeks ago, last week. And we just realized, wow, we've slacked off. We need to push a reset button. What happens is your children are obedient. They're doing well. And you just kind of coast for a while. How many of you know what that's like? And so you don't do the same things that you did before. Because this thing happened, it really wasn't a convenient time. And I'm busy and whatever happens. And so you coast, and all of a sudden, though, this thing starts going haywire, and you realize, what happened? This is different. This is not what we had. And so you push the reset button. You start over. And we've done that many times. Usually, whenever we go on a trip, we have to do that. But, so, yes, it's all about that. It's about starting over. His mercies are new every morning. So may God pour His grace upon us throughout this weekend. And may you receive a reward for coming in your home. And may your children be prepared for the Master when He's knocking on their hearts. That there will be many souls in glory forever and ever because of the decisions that you are making in me this weekend that are going to carry you and me through Monday mornings. God bless you all. I'll turn it over to you, Brother Aaron.
Haven't we been blessed? Amen. Brother Paul, thank you for sharing the heart of the Lord with us. And I was just really encouraged and blessed and could identify with so many of the things you shared. You know, see my failures and then see some victories and some blessings. And I was just thinking tonight as we're here, you don't want to draw the meeting on long, but I thought, you know, maybe there's something on your heart that you would just love to be able to pray and pour out to God, even tonight, just asking the Lord. You know, maybe you've seen some areas tonight and you just feel the need to humble your heart before God and ask the Lord for bread. Lord, I need bread for my family. You know, I thought of this just as you were closing, Brother Paul, about being for real. To really ask ourselves, do I really love every one of my children? Do I really love them? And is everything free in my heart between me and every one of my children? No resentment, no irking, you know, but love that just desires the best and believes and hopes and presses into it. You know, because if we have any resentment in our heart, that'll be a major block for the grace and the blessing of God. Maybe we can just kneel together and we will just allow you to bear something to the Lord in prayer. But before we do that, I just want to give opportunity. Is there anyone who would like to make a prayer request here tonight? God gives grace to the humble. Is there something you want to say? Pray for me in this. Is there anyone? All right, let's kneel together and just pour our hearts out to God. We'll just give some time and then I'll close.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.